This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Rolling through your Friday, swinging open the gateway to the weekend, getting you set up, as we always love the content on our show because it gives you so many ideas of things you may want to catch up on, maybe something you want to do, maybe, hey, man, it's a rainy weekend, but we have got all sorts of stuff to keep you covered. If it's a nice one, well, we kick things off with gardening and get right into all sorts of things. Grant Hardy joining me today. I'm Kelly McDonald.
Always lots of things happening in tech as the weeks go on. And so it's time to check in with John Beeler for our weekly app update.
Hi, I'm John Beeler, technology expert from Vancouver. Join me on Kelly and Ramya, where I share the latest app, mobile, and tech news. Everything from accessibility and product launches to privacy and security. We'll cover the gamut.
It's always amazing how much things change just from last week to this week. So many new apps and developments and changes. So, John, it's always great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with Twitter alternative Post News. Apparently, they are closing down.
Yeah, to surprise of no one. Most people probably don't even remember what Post News is. And this was one of the platforms that popped up soon after Elon Musk purchased Twitter. And everyone was just flocking to every new service to try to find the next Twitter. And this one had kind of an interesting promise or premise, I guess. It was created by the founder and former CEO of Waze, the navigation system that was owned by, that's now owned by Google, and they've integrated it into Google Maps. And so he created this platform as meant to sort of be the toxic free space for people that are really interested in sort of news and conversation and those types of things. And one of the interesting things that they offered that I don't think anyone else really has done is they give you ad-free access to paywalled content from some pretty big publishers like Fortune, Business Insider, Wired, Boston Globe, etc. And you didn't have to pay for separate subscriptions for those things. You would just pay a couple pennies for that specific article. And so it really gives you a lot more access to content than you would have without breaking the bank as far as having to have a lot of subscription services for paywalled content. They had a wait list, and once they removed the wait list, I think in November of 2022, they basically said that they only had about just under 500,000 subscribers people on the platform, which is very small change compared to a lot of the other competition out there. So essentially, the CEO of Post said, you know, we were just not growing fast enough to become a real business or a significant platform, as he said. So they're shutting down in a few weeks, and another one bites the dust, thanks to Elon.
It's so tough, isn't it, right? Because just thinking about, you know, if I needed, I don't know, whatever, customer service or to put a fundraising message out there, whatever it is, like, I don't know, realistically, this is more news focused, but yeah, like realistically, you'd go to the big guys, right? You know, Reddit, Twitter, Facebook, whatever other competitors are like trying so hard. And I'd love to see something else get mass adoption, but it's just hard when everything is so established already.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think the other interesting thing is that the ones that popped up at around the same time as Post that are still around and, you know, actually quite thriving are the ones that have the connection to the Fediverse. So Mastodon, Threads, these systems that, you know, the promise hasn't quite delivered yet in the sense that it doesn't matter what platform you're on, you can still connect and get your message out to all the other platforms, but we're getting closer to that every day.
I wonder, for a lot of people, who play on Twitter. They like their quick headlines. They like being in the association with a lot of media and availability. But that's not a reason for a lot of other people. They want to more communicate with the people they're fans of or potentially, as opposed to a heavy resource of, hey, I like my headlines, I like my news, but I'm getting it also that little bit that's good enough for me with the other resources, John. I know for me, I kind of like the way that I can see something tweeted out by a reporter and stuff like that. That's something for me where a lot of other people, it's just send something from the news agency.
It just proves it's really hard to make something that works for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think when something doesn't work, we know, well, gosh, yeah, but that's because the Kellys out there looking for news. There's not as many as those out there who want to follow, some artist, some sports figure or whatever. Your second item, sir, Microsoft's Vasa One. It can deep fake, and I'm probably not saying it right, I know, fake person with one audio track, and that includes the photo.
Yeah, this is a fairly significant development in deepfake technology. Previously, you would need lots of different sort of reference photos or videos or a video that they would just digitally alter to change the way the voice comes through and the lips are in sync, those types of things. Mm-hmm. But this particular model that Microsoft's research department has come up with was actually trained on about 6,000 celebrities on YouTube with over there was just a really large amount of sort of contextual video with these 6,000 celebrities. So every possible facial movement and things like that, we're training this AI model. So now literally just with a still photo that you would grab off of Facebook or something else, you can actually create a fully animated video of me or you talking. You provide an audio track, and they're very careful to say that this isn't a one-stop deep fake tool, because it'd be really disastrous if I could just take, a political figure and a photo of a political figure and then some text and have the AI, have that person say everything all in one place and have it look as photorealistic as this particular model is promising. Although, ironically, Microsoft has other tools that do that aspect of it. So you still need to create the audio file or have an audio file, but you can essentially have one photo and you can have that person animated singing a song or speaking, a speech or whatever you want, in an incredibly photorealistic way. And they're basically saying it's very high definition. There is still some identifiers in the video encoding of this particular output that is very easy to determine that is AI generated, which is on purpose so that it can be detected very easily.
Yeah. And this one's just so interesting because it's basically like when we train a software to hear our voice and how you speak. So you train this to see or to hear, to be able to mimic. But not only that, it flashes it back to, as Kelly would say this, his face would make this expression due to the design of his face and everything, based on everything it's learned through those other 6,000 images of people and things like that out there to compile. This is what a face should do when you do this or saying that. That to me is just amazing for the length of time that said. And like you say, you could sit there, pull enough audio because there's so many things out there, speeches from our celebrities or whomever, and utilize this. And we're always recording stuff. There's always YouTube or videos of just anybody out there off of Facebook or whatever, you grab that and could do it. So, I mean, I guess it's a blessing that we're making sure these things make sure that that's embedded. But, John, the average person's going to get nailed believing it's them.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the problem, is that the average person is not going to look at the code or look at the encoding of this video to determine or not. It's only when it gets shared a lot and goes viral that people will start poking the bear and trying to figure out, well, where did this come from? This person never would say that way or whatever. But the sheer amount of progress that we've seen in these deepfake systems is just astonishing in the short amount of time that they've been around.
Especially unless you're a celebrity, somebody known where it's going to be shared, and that some of this stuff could really affect small groups of people, someone who's at a school, a high school, and that, and somebody gets loose and putting it out there. I think that's so dangerous because a lot of people aren't going to ever stop promoting. Who would bother to copy Kelly? Who would create an, who would do that? Why?
Well, there was just an example of someone. Oh, sorry, Grant.
There's just an example
of someone that used this kind of technology to try to get someone fired at a school. And they basically made it sound like the principal said something that they didn't actually say.
No, and that's exactly what I was thinking is, you know, someone like, I don't know, Taylor Swift, you know, like people are going to expect fake, you know, videos of celebrities coming out. But, you know, someone like me or, you know, some random person, you know, creating a video that has some sort of racist or, you know, horrible comment, whatever, even just the notoriety of it, like that could do terrible damage. And I find it so interesting that, you know, currently the AI companies are saying like, okay, we're not going to generate, you know, abusive content. We're going to put some watermarks in here, whatever it is. But that's just all a policy thing. Like you totally could create an AI that would do whatever you wanted and not add watermarks. So yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. I'm wondering if we're coming up to a kind of 1984 style where you'll just have no idea how to tell if something is real and what is fake. So hopefully
I think everyone will just start to distrust everything. I mean, we saw that with Photoshop.
Sure.
You know, you couldn't trust a magazine photo and now you can't trust a video.
Well, we'll let that mull over on that a little bit and see what happens. Speaking of AI, Meta AI launches in Canada on WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook, and more. I think I've seen a new little tab there in my Facebook app. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, this is somewhat controversial in the sense that basically Meta has sort of plugged in their AI tools into just about every aspect of their software. And it's quite confusing for the average person because it replaces things like on Instagram, the search button. It's now replaced with the Meta AI and it says, ask Meta anything. And I'm trying to find an Instagram account and it's unclear whether that's going to like be a ChatGPT prompt or if that's going to be a search result within Instagram. And I've seen a few friends on Facebook sort of confused over this and sort of like, how do you turn this off? And there's no way to turn it off. It's sort of there. I think it's interesting that Meta and other companies are trying to sort of force feed us all these AI bots to give us the ability to have it write an email for you or write a blog post or an Instagram post with all the right tags that you need to do so that your post will go viral, those types of things. But also it's just kind of like, why can't I turn it off?
Yeah, it was just confusing to me. I tried this out and like, oh, I'm looking for, you know, a specific person I'd like to friend. And like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't look through Facebook accounts, but I can help you come up with some ideas of things to do on the weekend or whatever. And like, I don't know what the point of this is really.
No, exactly. And I'm trying to figure out what is the goal from Meta other than showing off their language models. But nobody I know has had a successful result with anything they've asked it for. Even when they're specifically asking for things that it's supposed to help you with, it's still right. Not working properly.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Any thoughts on this real quick, Kelly?
No, it's amazing to me just the way it goes and the timing. I mean, obviously these things take time to get them where we need them. And I guess, John, that's what we just have to stop and kind of grin and bear it. But I always think it's the vastness, too, of whether you just have some people things rolled out to or the whole shebang. It's a lot of people playing around.
Yeah, I think
I will say I did find one way to sort of, I guess, minimize its usefulness is at least on Instagram. If you tap on the icon for the Meta AI, you actually get its profile and you can actually block it. So
then it'll
stop working way and sort of work like a regular search bar. So
I'll keep looking for ways to do that. Sounds like a good first step. We are out of time, man, but thanks for the great info.
No problem.
That's John Beeler, who will be back next Friday and every Friday for that weekly app update.
Ahead, folks, Disney has launched changes to its longstanding disability access service. And of course, folks, we know these things happen, but we got to speak up about them, right? And they're facing lots of backlash from disability communities. We're going to get the scoop on the buzz with Nisreen Abdul-Majeed after this.
Keep it here for more of Kelly and Ramya on AMI TV.
Hi, I'm Jenny Bovard. Join me monthly for Low Vision Moments, where I speak with awesome guests about some of the amusing things that happen when you're blind or partially sighted. Watch on YouTube or download Low Vision Moments from your favorite podcast distributor.